This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington as well. Presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You're looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Johnny Cakes Auville and Eric Bickle, running the three-man show. Jason should be back tomorrow from his trip to Pebble Beach. I saw a picture.
Oh, I never saw one.
I saw a pic from Tommy's Facebook page. He went out there with Mooney. I don't know. I saw it somewhere.
Nice.
It was like a picture with five guys, though. I was wondering, like, is that a fivesome?
Maybe it was a caddy or
something. Yeah, usually the caddy will hop in the picture, especially if he's with you for, like, all 3 days.
So we'll get the skinny from Jason Bishop tomorrow.
Yeah, he was supposed to be here today, but there was, like, a fog problem. He sent me a text. He goes, you know, flying effing blows. You know, because he had the problems the last time he was traveling.
Oh, I don't want any fog on my takeoff. I want visibility for miles.
Right.
Many miles.
I just exchanged a couple of text messages with him on Saturday because Wisconsin lost, 31-point favorite. Mm-hmm. Half of the teams left. Cakes was already out of the survivor pool.
Done.
But half of the teams took Wisconsin that had Big Ten left. So that survivor pool, it is amazing. It was three conferences, and it threw 8 weeks. You just have to pick a guaranteed winner. And it's like you have Ohio State. You've got Penn State.
Survivor pools are butt hard.
You've got juggernauts in these leagues. And yet, after 8 weeks, three conferences, more than half of the teams are out. I think it's down to like four guys.
See, this is where I would usually say, I'm never going to do a survivor pool ever again. But I'm a weak person, and I always wind up doing another one the following year.
I'll
be back in.
I never was. I think that might be my first. Maybe I've done an NFL one before. I definitely had never done a college one before. But my son and I had a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we prepped out the next 7 weeks, and then Wisconsin loses.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, you're done. You're done, Ski. That's the beauty of it.
Bishop lost as well. All right, let's open up the entertainment page, which, of course, is sponsored by our friends at Second Chance Addiction Care. If alcohol or drugs is affecting your health, family, or work, or you picked up a DUI, get help today. Call Second Chance Addiction Care at 301-983-5130 or visit secondchancecare.com.
We really should send Adam to Second Chance Care.
I thought he's having a sober month.
Sober month?
Please. He's having a more sober month than
alcohol
usual.
Alcohol poisoning and everything else. Because if girls are there, then it's okay. Remember, he made that accommodation.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah. Did he get
if girls
drunk
are present
this weekend? Or did he just have a few?
I'm sure.
I don't know. I couldn't believe how wrapped up Drab was into whatever costume Awad had. Awad wore like white face.
Did you already have a Halloween party?
White face. Isn't he white faced already? Look at that. Look at that pasty dude.
This weekend, my friend's girlfriend threw a big party called Spooky Season, and everyone needed to dress up as something dead.
Right.
And so I had the brilliant idea.
Dress up as the Redskins.
To dress up as the Deadskins.
Right.
And I put black makeup on my eyes to look like a zombie, and then surrounded that by some white makeup. And I thought I pulled it off pretty nicely. And NBC Sports Washington has the picture.
Drab, though, was, like, really emotional about it. Like, your teeth are too yellow. You can't wear white face. What are you doing?
Yeah, you should have whitened your teeth.
Why so rich?
There's a lot that goes into Halloween, especially at Adam's age.
Valdez and I are Halloween professionals.
Right.
We take a lot of pride in it. Last week, we had a million conversations with Adam about his Halloween costume.
We had a show
meeting. He went in white face.
Okay, here's the thing about Halloween. It's the horniest day of the year. There's more sex on Halloween than any other day. Yes, I've been told.
It's an excuse for girls to dress up like sluts.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Because, I mean, let's get to the crux of the matter.
Is that true?
I have no idea.
Because you're out of character, right? Girls feel like...
You can act like a different person.
Exactly.
You're in costume. You're not the same person who everyone thinks you are.
Everybody has a shot on Halloween.
Even Adam.
You go to a party in whiteface in a dumb sports costume. Girls do not care about sport costumes on Halloween.
You're so right.
Valdez and I told him you got to appeal to the women all week, and you wore a dumb Redskins jersey with white face.
with makeup on.
How successful were you?
Here's the problem. It doesn't matter if it's the most clever costume in the world. If you have face paint on or makeup on, some chick is not going to smooch with you when you're covered in
makeup so
and
gross.
Face paint.
Unkissable with face paint or a mask. He took himself out of the running before they even started.
That is true.
Why Adam, you guys are experts. I will give you that.
Look how worked up he is.
Look, they're just trying to help him out.
Because all we did was prep him the entire time.
Why?
Entire week leading up to.
They're looking out for
his. Because honestly, it's getting a little pathetic.
You know
the fact that he hasn't had sex in 2019.
He doesn't listen to you guys. All you guys are trying to do is help him, and he didn't listen.
That's part of laissez-faire.
That's part of the reason why we're so pissed off, too, is that we gave him the blueprint on how to have sex.
Well, let's be honest. All of their ideas sucked, and I had multiple women at the party tell me that they loved my costume, that I kicked it out of the park.
You look like a damn raccoon.
Kicked it out of the park. Yeah, you kicked it right out of the park. Sure, kicked your brain right out of the park.
It's called.
Joaquin Phoenix looked hotter in a face paint than Adam.
Adam, do you know how you botched that cliche?
Yes.
Tell us what the correct cliche is.
Hit it out of the park.
Right.
How hammered were you? Were you obliterated?
No, I had three of their bloody drinks, which was Hawaiian Punch and Tito's Vodka.
Yeah.
And then I took one shot with all the girls.
Right.
And that was it.
That was your sober October?
Yeah.
His sober nice night is four drinks.
Right.
You imagine his makeup all over the solo cup?
So gross. And obviously no success at the end of the night, right, Adam?
That's correct.
Yeah, are his teeth spectacularly yellow? Because
if it's a dead party, he should have went as his incisor.
Because that's what Travis called it. His makeup was super white.
Why does he just drink a ton of coffee or something? Like, what is it?
He pounds coffee. He doesn't brush his teeth. Yes, he has yellow teeth. And when you put white face paint on over the top of it, it makes it 100 times worse. Everybody knows this.
Yeah, it looks like you're smiling with candy corn.
I didn't go as white face. I went as zombie face. I could have been a member of The Walking Dead. Yeah. I pulled it off. I looked silly. I probably had the best costume of all the guys at the party. There were guys that were rolling in with the stupid face mask.
Were they getting laid, though?
Multiple guys that I went with did get laid.
Exactly. All right, speaking of costumes, Joker, Taking Care of Business Cakes, did another $29 million. They say it's on pace. You say you and Valdez and your little friend
there. Yes, we called it.
You don't track global
earnings. We only care about the Los Estados Unidos.
Well, they're on track to make over $900 million
in
global ticket sales.
Yeah.
You might want to consider it.
It's pretty impressive.
They've only made $247 million here domestically, which is still great.
Yeah.
But they're on track for over $900 million. I guess the movie that that has the record right now, I think it's Deadpool. Deadpool made $783 million. I guess it's the largest grossing R-rated U.S. release.
His body is gross to look at in that movie.
Oh, it couldn't be
Joaquin
skinnier.
Joaquin Phoenix, I think, lost roughly around 50 pounds for this role, and you just see ribs.
See his spine, like, protruding out of his back.
Now, we didn't have Kevin on last week, right, because he's in Japan or wherever he is.
China.
Maleficent. Is that how you say it? Maleficent?
Yeah, I think it's pretty close.
Mistress of Evil actually finished number one. That did $36 million. Number three was Zombieland 2, Double Tap. The Addams Family did $16 million. And rounding out the top five, Gemini Man.
They're still cranking out Addams Family bits.
Crazy,
it's Halloween.
Right?
Halloween time.
Yeah, I guess.
October.
The Addams Family must be like 100 years old.
Now, we're not like royal watchers by any stretch.
No, of course not.
But I guess Meghan Markle did an interview where she's talking about how difficult it is.
No, I would watch those royals over the Kansas City Royals.
You would?
Yeah,
you would.
Probably would.
Apparently, she's saying it is very difficult for her to make this transition into this life. I think it's a horrible life. I don't know. I mean, you get everything weighted on you, but you got to do 9 million appearances.
So many charity appearances. Unpaid appearances.
Oh, my God.
Yuck.
Your whole life is just charity appearances.
Paid appearances.
I think it's a horrible life, but God bless them. Apparently, Prince William and Prince Harry, though.
Sure, it's fun to go do an appearance like at a minefield.
Like all day.
Like for legitimately a minefield.
Is that
Are you kidding me?
Is that what like Lady Di was doing?
Yeah, it was one of her pet projects.
Yeah. But Prince Harry and Prince William, apparently, even they, I guess, are struggling. And there's kind of a rift there, a royal feud between the two. Because Harry was complaining that Prince William wasn't as welcoming to Meghan Markle.
Ah, a little standoffish.
And apparently Prince
CK's
Charles,
doppelganger.
Prince Charles had to step in and kind of squash things.
He was the peacemaker? All right,
here's a dumb question.
There's a real royal feud.
Besides inheritance.
Yes. Yeah.
How do they make money?
Don't know. I have no idea.
How do they make money besides?
Yeah, income.
Their income? I don't know.
Do they have income? They've got inheritance, and they've got palaces, and they've got all that stuff.
They own estates all over England.
But do they have money coming in?
I don't know how they have income.
Because you're talking about all these unpaid appearances.
Might have more income.
For some reason, they're just worth like $1 billion.
Well, I mean, you're born into like Buckingham Palace, I guess.
I mean, the money's just not an issue. But your responsibility as part of being part of the royal family is you got to do appearances all the time. It's just
a nightmare. Give you a salary?
Who cares? You already have all the money in the world. You don't need another penny. It doesn't matter what they pay you. The life is miserable. Anybody that wants to be part of the royal family is stupid. Let's go to Chris in Burke. Chris, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Jocks.
Hey, fellas. Thanks for taking my call. I was just listening in to AWOD and his just terrible time trying to find women on the horniest day of the year.
Is it really the horniest day of the year?
I mean, well, it's definitely top three. I mean, you got to throw Valentine's Day in there if you got a fling.
All right.
You got to throw cuddle season right between Thanksgiving and Christmas. Those
cuddle
girls want to be cuddled up.
I didn't know that was a season.
Yeah.
That's a whole thing.
Oh, my God.
Really?
It's the season where girls start saying, oh, my hands are too cold. Feel them, and they'll press it up against your warm face. They just want.
Chris is on to it.
Yeah, he's on to something.
Chris, are you single? You got a girlfriend? What's your deal?
No, I'm married. I had my fun in college, and I was just trying to chime in with my two cents and my experience on Halloween in college.
All right, go ahead.
There was, just real quick, it was six, seven years ago. I was recently single, went out to a party. Everyone's dressed up. Everyone's having some beer. You get to dress up as somebody else. I went as a luchador, the Mexican wrestler, a mask on my face. No one sees what I'm looking like. I go and I meet this girl. She's like 6'2", mind you. I'm like 5'8". She is tall as hell. And for some reason, we end up the night, and she's back at my place, and I'm just decimating it. And
right.
I couldn't believe it. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. At 3 o'clock in the morning, she rolls over and says, I need you to take me back to the apartment. I was like, yeah, sure, whatever, like 6 o'clock. You got it. She's like, no, I need to go now. I got to go back to Norfolk because I'm in the Navy. I'm like, oh, my God. I hit the horniest girl jackpot ever.
Good for you.
So when you're hitting the skins, you still have the mask on or you take that off?
The mask eventually came off, but honestly, it didn't matter. Lights were off.
He looked like Jack Black from Nacho Libre.
Right, exactly.
I looked like exactly like Jack Black.
Looked like Rey Mysterio. You were doing a Rey Mysterio bit.
I had to go from the top rope. She was so tall.
I bet. So do you agree that what Adam, his fatal flaw was that all that makeup?
Well, it's definitely not good. If you got yellow teeth and you put on a white face, it highlights the yellow teeth for sure.
Yeah. Of course it does.
You should have put yellow face on, stupid.
His fatal flaw in me is his personality.
Right.
I'm telling you, he cannot be getting so drunk. I mean, girls can see that from a mile away.
Yeah, they don't want to deal
with that.
You
got to go in there. I don't know. There's girls. First of all, girls are, they're not idiots. Right, they want someone who's of somewhat like intelligible conversation, they somewhat attractive. But unfortunately, AWOD is just—he's just throwing all that out the window. He goes out there and you can just hear his videos on Instagram, and you're just like, "Oh God, AWOD,
it's
you're
too
so,
much. It's
you're just
too much.
Ruining. You're just ruining it. Yeah, it's too much. If he just brings it back, reins it back a couple of degrees, I'm sure he'll be able to spit just a little bit of game and have a good time.
Yeah,
but AWOD's just blowing it. He's just blowing it. And I love it because I just listen to the radio. I'm just like, oh, my God.
You revel in it.
So bad at it. All right, thank you, Chris.
I love it so much.
Thank you, buddy.
Appreciate it, guys.
The next party that Adam goes to for Halloween, his costume can't be sports related.
Absolutely. Yeah,
that's just too much of the sports. Did you get rid of the Wizard's wallet or do you still have that?
I got rid of that, but I'm missing it every day.
It got just, me. Your wallet doesn't have Gilbert Arenas on it.
Girls don't care about sports.
About sports. It's so dumb.
They care about themselves.
You think girls care about Larry Hughes? I know that's an old reference.
Really do, do you really like talk? Do you really talk sports with girls?
No,
like soccer.
But
and stuff?
I'm the sports guy, so they always bring it up to me. Oh, what do you think about the Caps this year? I have to.
They don't.
They're just there's no chance.
No, I'm telling you,
that. There's no chance.
They call the sports guy. You're lying. Nobody.
There's
does
no.
That.
There's no chance.
Let's go to Kevin in Woodbridge. Kevin, what's up?
Here's what girls care about the Caps when they're in the Stanley Cup playoffs,
or if Tom Wilson's buying them a drink.
Right.
Exactly. Kevin.
Hey, a couple things. So first of all, there's two ways you can go with this. The first way is, and you got to be in shape to do this, is if you're in shape and you're going out with a bunch of people, girls love it if you have the balls to dress up as, like, you know, a ballerina or something else if all the guys are doing it kind of as a joke.
Do that.
But you got to
pull that off.
Yeah,
no, he's not in shape for that.
Yeah, so, and AY's not, so that's out the window. The coolest thing I've ever seen, by the way, the two best places to do mass Halloween are Tokyo and downtown Honolulu. They go off the charts.
What further places? Tokyo?
Close the entire downtown off, and the Korean and Japanese girls come in dressed in the most ridiculous stuff that you've ever seen
do
in your life.
Do they get size, too, to see, like, Americans?
Yeah, it's on.
That's what we have to do. We have to send him to a foreign country. we're like,
just not that. Yeah. The amount of money and detail that they put into their costumes makes you literally think that you're on a Hollywood studio set.
Right.
Because they're so detailed, it's not even funny.
It's a bunch of cosplay nerds.
I kind of like where you're going, though. We have to send Adam to, like, Tokyo.
Yeah, we send him to Asia.
Somewhere where, like, they're so fascinated with Americans. Like,
yeah.
Like,
right.
Like Africa.
It wasn't that long ago we had the 65-year-old woman who was shagging guys left and right. We couldn't even do that.
I don't know what happened with that. I can't believe that fell apart.
The segment would have been funnier 12
years ago.
He was going to
get a gilf.
Aren't there some countries where, like, when they see Americans, like, they can't even believe, like, your skin?
Australia.
Huh?
Australian women get sized for American accents.
They do? Yeah. Like yours?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
I'm an aphrodisiac in Australia.
Yeah, but our Australian guys kind of like...
Why'd you come up with that theory?
Aren't they, like,
no,
rugged?
I'm serious.
Really?
Yeah.
You think they like that hillbilly accent?
They think I'm talking French to them.
Hey, I've never heard an accent like this.
Je m'appelle Valdez.
All right, we'll get back to some more entertainment. Page, you did like a half a story.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe did one.
More.
Morgan Moses is going to join us next. We'll talk to the Redskins right tackle next on a Misery Monday, driven by Priority Toyota Springfield, where you can have it all, including priorities for life, the most comprehensive lifetime vehicle coverage in the business. Shop PriorityToyotaSpringfield.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back. Chucky's on a Misery Monday, driven by Priority Toyota Springfield, where you can have it all, including priorities for life, the most comprehensive lifetime vehicle coverage in the business. Shop PriorityToyotaSpringfield.com. Joining us right now on the Mattress Rest Hotline, it's Morgan Moses, Redskins right tackle, presented by Steam Fitters UA Local 602. They built this city. Good morning, Morgan.
Good morning. How you doing, boss?
What was it
Morgan?
Like to play in those weather conditions yesterday?
It was crazy, man. The field was it was a slop fest, but you know, obviously we knew going in the game we wanted to run the ball, so it was kind of to our advantage.
Have you ever met a coach at any point in your career, high school, college, or football, that loves to run the ball more than Bill Callahan?
shoot, man. You know, definitely. You know, he's a run first coach, and he sticks to it, man. You know what I'm saying? We work all week on it, and you know. We know what he's going to call. So,
Let me ask you something. When you guys go through the script, help us with this. Do you guys run these plays beforehand? Do you know the script going in, like sort of the tentative plan for the first 10 or 15 plays that the coach is working on? Do you know them, or is it just the quarterbacks that know? How does that work?
No, we definitely know them. I mean, obviously, you know, those plays kind of change depending on, you know,
situation,
down the distance and,
right,
you know, situations and stuff like that. But, man, I think when you look at that first drive when we came out, man, we ran the ball every play down the field. And took, I think, about 7 minutes off the clock. I think we put ourselves in a good position. You know, obviously we didn't come out with any points. You know, we missed a field goal. But I think that first drive was, you look at it, man, it was definitely an establishment drive and, you know, what was trying to get done.
Did they defend you differently after that drive? The 49ers entering the game, and I'll give you guys credit, had a great rush defense, great pass defense, one of the top defenses in the league. We're only giving up 12 points a game entering yesterday's game. Did they make some changes that kind of shut down the run a little bit later? Because that first drive, you were so effective.
You know, I don't think necessarily. You know, obviously they have a great defense, man. They have some great, I think six first rounders on their defensive line. They got some great linebackers, and obviously all pro guy Richard Sherman. But you know, I think we did a good job throughout the game. You know, obviously, you know, we got some things that we got to fix, and obviously we didn't. You know, we missed the field goal on the first drive, then we got a good drive going on in the second half, and we came away with the fumble. And those were two momentum drives that, you know, I feel like, you know, we should have came out with points. But obviously, I think we, for the most part, I think, you know, AP averaged like four yards a carry, and I think that's, you know, when you got that, man, you know, it's great to open up everything else.
Joined by Morgan Moses, Redskins right tackle. I don't know if you're aware of this. You went viral yesterday, not necessarily for a good play. Fill us in on what happened on the play where it just looked like maybe you missed a snap count. You give up a sack. You see the defensive end just run right by you, and you didn't start.
I mean, I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus. You know, obviously, as a team, we know what happened. Obviously, you know, you guys and the fans do enough of, you know, hitting us on the head, so I'm not going to throw anybody on the bus and let them get hit on the head. You know, so I'll just take that one on the chin for the team and, you know, move forward. But obviously,
well, you can talk about your role. What happened there? Is it just that you missed the snap count? Like, why didn't you go when the rest of the team went?
You know, I talked to some of the guys. You know, they said they looked at the play clock and saw that it, you know, it was rolling down on 2 seconds. Obviously, you know, all week we worked on things. Obviously, I did not miss the snap count. I was, you know, but you know, just things like that happen. I guess, you know, obviously, you know, like I said, man, I'm not throwing anybody under the bus, man. I'm not, you know, not gonna throw one of my teammates under the bus or anything like that. And obviously, we just got to.
So you feel like you didn't do anything wrong there?
I'm not pointing the finger at anybody, man.
I mean, things happen.
This might be a tough one. Do you think you're playing good football this season, Morgan?
I mean, I think when you look at it, man, obviously, you know, we played some great defenses. And, I mean, I don't look back and see how many sacks or whatever I've given up. You know, obviously, you know, we had a rough game as an offense, you know, against the Bears and stuff like that. But obviously, I think if you take these last 3 weeks that we played as an offense, running the ball more efficient. I think, you know, all of us are playing a lot better. We just got to be better. There's some things we got to work on. We definitely got to be better on third down. We got to be better on third down. The things that we're doing on third down, completing the ball and things like that, man, it just has to be better. But, you know, I think as a whole, you know, I think we're playing, you know, pretty good football. I think our defense is playing outstanding, and we just got to match their intensity, man. We got to come out with some points and help our defense out as well.
Yeah, I mean, you have 20 points in the last three games, so you can say you're running the football better, but the reality is you guys aren't putting any points on the board. You can go back to the Giants game where you put up three against kind of a subpar defense. Last week against the Dolphins, we expected maybe more than 17. It was a nice win, and then zero yesterday. And I understand the weather was tough, but it's hard for me to buy into you guys are playing better football when you're not scoring.
I mean, like I said, man, it comes down to third down. Like we got to be better on third down. Like, you know, we talk about as a team, you know, being better on third down, as in not having third and tens and third and seven and eights. And I think when you look at the Miami game and this game, we were in some manageable third down positions, you know, third and five, third and four. And we just got to be better, you know, as a whole, just, you know, beating man coverage as receivers. You know, quarterback's not locking on the first receiver, and just, you know, picking up things as an offensive line. But we got to convert on third down, and that's the biggest thing. It doesn't matter how good you run the ball. If it's third and second and you're not completing the ball or, you know, running the for a first down, at the end of the day, that first and second down where you ran the ball for six or seven, 8 yards doesn't really mean anything.
Was Case having trouble gripping the ball?
I have no idea. I mean, that's something that you probably have to ask him. You know, obviously, I'm in front of him, so I'm not really paying attention to it. But, I mean, obviously, you know, both teams didn't really pass the ball that much,
right.
You know, because of just the rain was coming down and the slot fest and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, you know, it's professional football. So whether it's raining, pouring rain, monsoon, whatever it is, as long as the game is going, you got to play. You be able to play in those conditions.
So on Thursday night, you guys are going to play the Minnesota Vikings. Vikings coming off a big win where Kirk has 4 touchdown passes. Tell us about your relationship with Kirk during your years here. Did you like him?
Definitely, man. I think he's been a great quarterback, and obviously a lot of people have a lot to say about him, you know, good and bad. But, you know, I think right now he's playing some great football. I mean, obviously he has some great receivers over there, and he has a great defense over there as well. So, you know, right now they're on a hot streak. So
we're joined by Morgan Moses, presented by Steam Fitters UA Local 602. They built this city. Talk about how tough it is for you guys to regroup and, you know, get one walkthrough basically done, and then you're on to your next game Thursday. How tough is that, especially in your guys' bodies, when you just got finished playing Sunday?
You know, it's definitely tough. You know, obviously you're talking about, especially having to travel there, you're talking about 72 hours to play a game. But obviously they're in the same boat as well. And we just got to, you know, put our game plan together. And I'm pretty sure our coaching staff has been up all night putting that together. And obviously, you know, we're going into a hostile environment. They have a new stadium. You know, their fans, you know, they'll be loud. And, they're on a win streak as well, too. So, you know, we just got to prepare to come out and play great football.
How shocked are you that you guys are what you are right now? How shocked are you? What are they, 1-6?
Yep.
Is that what they are? I mean,
I'm very shocked. I mean, like, at the end of the day, nobody wants to be in this predicament. You know, obviously, you set your sights on the offseason thinking that, hey, we're going to be 1-6.
What did you think you were going to be? Like, how good did you think you were coming out of training camp?
I thought we were really good, and I think we're still really good. You know, obviously, there's a lot of football left, and, you know, obviously, you know, you just got to take it one game at a time. But, you know, at the end of the day, man, you know, we are what we are right now. And, you know, it sucks. You know, the feeling sucks. But we got to find a way to create momentum and change it.
You feel like you can beat the Vikings on Thursday?
I think that's why we play football, man. Anybody can be beat any Sunday, you know, obviously. Any Sunday or Monday or Thursday, you know. That's why you strap it up on that every day and you go out there and compete. You know, obviously, you know, we know they're on a hot streak. Kirk Cousins playing some unbelievable football. I think it was nine touchdowns in the last 2 games or whatever, or 8 touchdowns in the last 2 games. You know, they got some electrifying receivers and a great running game right now. And that's what's really, you know, putting them over top. I mean, they're being able to run the ball successfully and play action to Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen. And so, you know, we got to come out there and play a good defensive game and a good offensive game.
Joined by Morgan Moses, Redskins right tackle. He's presented by Steam Fitters UA Local 602. They built this city. So we've heard the last couple weeks that Dwayne in practice has been impressing, that he seems to be learning a little bit more, that he's making some positive steps forward. Tell us what you're seeing in practice from Dwayne Haskins.
I think definitely he's more dialed in. I think the opportunity for him to grow as a football player is there. I think a lot of it, too, is just, you know, the way we practice, the intensity we practice with now, he's getting a lot more valuable reps. And then, you know, after practice, we have that what we call we have an extra period, which is kind of like a teaching period for, you know, the younger guys and some of the older guys that need to work on some things. And I think he's growing as a football player, and I think his mind, I think he's maturing as a football player. You know, we're talking about a kid that just came out of college and, you know, only played one season of football. So, you know, only played one college season of football. So there's a lot of growing and mental aspect that he has to do, and I think he's doing it well.
Morgan, can you tell KOC that every time Steven Sims is in the game, that he doesn't have to run a jet sweep, that he doesn't have to run some version of a reverse? Do you guys ever – I mean, every time Steven Sims is in the huddle, that's what you seem to be doing.
I mean, to be honest with you, he can actually catch the ball too, man. He's an electrifying receiver. I mean, he's one of those guys that, you know, obviously didn't get seen a lot in college, but he's a great talent, man. And I think the opportunity of getting him the ball more is there, and we'll see how it goes, man.
Was McLaurin frustrated on the sideline that he wasn't a big part of the game plan? That's the one thing that kind of stinks. Like, I understand Callahan, and it's exciting for you. I'm sure you love run blocking. But our best player right now that's healthy is Terry McLaurin. And he's not going to be a big part of this if all we're doing is pounding the football.
I mean, I think yesterday, you know, the opportunity, you know, of running, I mean, throwing the ball is, you know, in that weather condition as well, it's just it's kind of hard, man. You know, obviously, you know, you look at the 49ers as well, man. They're a run-pass team as well. And, you know, they didn't really pass the ball as much as you usually see them pass the ball. But, you know, obviously the weather conditions kind of, you know, put a little damper on that a little bit as well. But I think, you know, you look at the Miami game, he's had his opportunities. And moving forward, you know, obviously he's going to have his opportunities. He's an electrifying receiver. Everybody knows that around the league about him. So, you know, obviously there's opportunities where we will get him the ball, but obviously yesterday, just in the weather conditions and stuff, you know, it just didn't pan out that way.
Do you see, real quick, Morgan, do you see Haskins sort of like chomping at the bit to get in there, or is he just being cool? Like, what's his demeanor like on the sideline?
You know, he's just waiting for his moment, man. All he can do right now is prepare the best he can and just learn every week. You know, obviously, you know, you draft a guy 15 overall, not to come sit down. So at some point, you know, he'll get his opportunity, and I know he's chomping at the bit. I know one thing about him, man, he's a playmaker, man. He's a gamer, man. Like, you know, the things he does, I mean, the way he throws the ball around in practice is, it's crazy. But, you know, obviously, you know, his practice reps going against our defense are valuable reps, like I said. He's done a great job just progressing is what I've seen over the last couple of weeks.
All right, Morgan, appreciate the time. It's Morgan Moses, Redskins right tackle. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, buddy.
Or maybe on Friday, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe Friday.
Yes, sir.
All right, good luck, pal.
Thanks, Morgan.
Morgan Moses. We'll talk to Chris Thompson, his teammate, coming up at 9 o'clock here on a Misery Monday. Driven by Priority Toyota Springfield, where you can have it all, including Priorities for Life, the most comprehensive lifetime vehicle coverage in the business. Shop PriorityToyotaSpringfield.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington on a Misery Monday, driven by Priority Toyota Springfield, where you can have it all, including Priorities for Life. The most comprehensive lifetime vehicle coverage in the business. Shop PriorityToyotaSpringfield.com.
Maybe you should rebrand Misery Monday to Monday.
We've talked about that in
normal
the past.
Monday.
So
we've
bad.
Talked about that so many times.
This is
a lost season at 1-6, but they did draft a quarterback in the first round, and that's why we asked Morgan a couple questions about Haskins. And there seems to be talk about Haskins the last couple weeks either performing better in practice, maybe showing up to work a little earlier, staying longer, whatever.
They say he has been working harder,
and we know it's inevitable. Look, unless Callahan actually sticks to his guns and it's a redshirt season, inevitably he's going to play at some point. Yesterday, when we talked to Craig Hoffman during our pregame show from Glory Days Grill, I asked Craig about what he thought when Dwayne Haskins was asked about reading defenses. And we're going to play the audio here in moments. And Craig was one of many who I think found Haskins' statements off-putting. I didn't have a problem with what Haskins said, even if he does have to learn, and even if in the little body of work we saw, it appeared that he is not up to speed with the defenses and protections. Here's Haskins this week asked about that.
Question about learning at this point. How do you process
that? That's really a joke because, like, I pride myself on reading defenses and knowing protections and stuff like that. So I can't really pay any mind to that. That's how I do what I got to do. And so it's like the first week I just, you know, taking it. So.
I mean, I don't know. I would just go, I would defer to the coaches and I would have this, you know, I would ask the coaches, how's he doing with that stuff?
What else is he supposed to say, though? I want a quarterback, whether or not he's as adept at those things as these veteran quarterbacks who've been in the league for years, Colt McCoy and Case Keenum. I want my quarterback to say, I pride myself on reading defenses and protections and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he's just going to do what he's got to do. Why do you, like, what is he supposed to say? You know what? I'm just overwhelmed right now. I really don't know what I'm doing. Defenses are complicated in this league. I played at Ohio State.
He's going to have bravado. All these guys
were wide open by 20
confident.
Feet.
But I don't understand, though. What was, like, Hoffman's beef with it?
I think, and it's not just Craig Hoffman, and if Craig's listening, he could chime in, but some people found Haskins' statements, what he just said right there, and it was kind of hard to hear because in the locker room, that he prides himself on reading defenses. They had a problem with him coming off so maybe arrogant when it appears he is not that adept at doing those things.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with his attitude. He's got to be confident.
Don't you want athletic arrogance?
Of course. But
as long as he's working hard. Like, I don't want athletic arrogance if it's misguided and you're not working.
Yeah.
But from all accounts is he's working.
Yeah. I just defer to what the coaches are saying / leaking. That he's had, you know, it's a tough transition for anybody that's only played. I mean, even Kyler Murray's struggling. He only played 13, 14 games in college.
Daniel Jones is starting to struggle.
Daniel Jones played 4 years in college.
But what's wrong with struggling? I've been saying this for a couple weeks, and I don't want to spend that much time on this. What do they have to lose by playing Haskins right now?
They don't have anything to lose.
You think he could lose confidence. I don't think he's that type of player that's going to lose confidence.
Well, you could get hurt.
And people always talk about this line. This line is not that bad. It's not like they're giving up 10 sacks a game. I think that's such an easy throwaway comment. Well, why, I don't want to play Haskins because
what Jay's alluded to is that if he doesn't line up the protections well, he's going to get hurt. You just don't want him to just, you know, be sacked 6 or 8 times and blindside a bunch of times because he's not setting up the protections correctly. You know, I don't know. I would just defer to what the coaches are thinking. I think it is telling.
The coaches are often wrong.
Okay, but they're the ones that are with him every day. I don't think it's a stretch either, and it's not an indictment against Dwayne. It doesn't mean he can't be a superstar. I mean, the odds are against it just because there are about 10 guys in the world that are superstars at this. Literally 10 in the whole world. Everyone else is less than that. Most of them are awful at it. But, you know, he had a one-word clapping system in college. He's being asked now to do things at an elite level that he hasn't been asked to do before. It's not surprising that there's a learning curve associated with it.
So if they lose, I should just say when they lose on Thursday night.
Yeah, that's a loss.
And they're 1-7. Half of the season is now done.
Yeah.
You now have 10 days, or 11 days, whatever the math is. I think it's 10. 10 days to prepare for the Buffalo Bills.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to get him ready for the Bills game?
I'm ready to toss him the keys
sure.
for the Bills game.
If you say he's ready to handle it, sure.
He may not be ready.
To me, it doesn't matter.
If they're 1-7, I don't care if he's fully ready yet.
Right.
He can be, you know what? He can be 60% ready.
Right.
And he's going to get some on-the-job training.
I don't know what the threshold is. I'm sorry, because
I'm totally with you.
If you're a Skins fan, you need Dwayne Haskins to be prepared for game one of the 2020 season. And you're not going to be prepared.
But he's not going to be a finished product next year either. It's going to take 3-4 years.
It's going to take some time. Sure. But you know what? Start the clock ticking.
But just don't
game.
Do it with this mindset that we have to know what we've got so that we could draft Tua or Herbert, or whatever else everybody's into.
With giving him a long runway to learn. I'm not expecting the Redskins to compete in 2020. This is a long process. It's not going to happen next year.
I'm not sure.
But maybe
if you
give him some reps, you give him some game experience, maybe he'll be more ready in 2020.
Let me tell you something.
Develops then and is better in 2021.
Let me tell you something. If he doesn't start against the Bills, that's one thing.
Right.
If he doesn't start against the Jets, which is after the bye week, right, after the Bills game,
and at home,
that's coaching malpractice.
Not that they have any home field advantage, but
just depends on if he's ready enough to do it. I don't know.
I'll even
there's
lower
a reason
the threshold.
Why they're not playing.
I don't care if he's only 25% ready. I want to see him by either the Bills or the Jets game. Because you know what? I need a progress report. Sorry. I need to
Correct.
See the progress report of what he's learned and how much he's developed. Mm-hmm. I need to see it.
If it hurts him
a little bit in the short term, so what? You're an athlete. You can bounce back from it. You're not going to be ruined from one or two bad experiences, I wouldn't think.
And if you are,
not gonna be one
you're
or
not
two.
The guy.
If he plays, let's say, the last nine games, it could be a disaster for nine straight games.
It could be. But again, what do you have to lose? You have nothing. You have
well,
nothing
you just
to lose.
Don't want to. He's your prized project. He's your number one draft pick. You want to set him up to succeed. If you know he's not reading protections well, he doesn't really sort of know where everybody is supposed to be yet. He doesn't know the playbook as
but
well
some
as
of
he
that
should
all,
yet.
Some of what you're talking about all comes from experiencing in a real game
right.
scenario.
I agree. Some
just,
of that does.
Not just practice and but not just seven
Maybe
seven
he does
drills.
Know it all. Look, but for some reason, they're not playing him
is
yet.
It really
and
hard,
there's no reason not to.
Is it really hard to hand off to Adrian Peterson 12 straight
yeah.
times?
It, look, yeah.
I mean, how complicated was that game plan yesterday?
I came up with the Bill Callahan play sheet. Run again. Run more. I mean, right. How hard is it to pull this off if you're Dwayne Haskins?
Yeah.
It can't be that tough.
I just think that he needs to be ready so that he can protect himself and so that you set him up to succeed. Don't set him up to fail. So whatever that is, and I don't know, I'm dumb. I'm just a couch potato. But whenever I trust that the coaches will know when the conditions are ripe for him to succeed.
Well, I don't think they can
whenever
set
they decide,
anybody
no idea
up
when
to
it
succeed,
is.
Given the fact that they've got really one offensive weapon in Terry McLaurin that's healthy.
Maybe that's why they didn't want. Maybe that's why they wanted to redshirt him the whole year.
I mean, Jeremy Sprinkle was their number one tight end yesterday. He's supposed to be their number three.
Yeah, he's terrible. Jeremy Sprinkle's terrible.
A waste of money.
Yeah, he's making Paul Richardson, by the way, is making $8 million a season.
All right, we'll get back into that a little bit later. Some people want to chime in, but next we'll hear from Chris Thompson, Redskins running back, here in the Junkies on a Misery Monday, driven by Priority Toyota Springfield, where you can have it all, including priorities for life. Most comprehensive lifetime vehicle coverage in the business. Shop PriorityToyotaSpringfield.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.